Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think the overarching point that we want to make this morning is that even with this change in leadership, the Diocese of Buffalo and multiple other dioceses in the state of New York and New Jersey are being held hostage by a foreign power and being held hostage by the church's own internal procedures that are defined in canon law that really constrain our ability to get at the truth of what has happened historically in the Diocese of Buffalo. Bishop Scharfenberger in the last week has alternatingly said that he doesn't know much about this diocese, that he is a blank slate. At first he suggested that he had not seen the Vatican report into Bishop Malone, but yet now this week he's starting to make substantial comments along these lines and is not only not denying that he's read the report, which we believe he has by this point, he's saying it's not his property. He's not able to provide that to the Diocese of Buffalo, to the good people here. And so he's trying to plead ignorance on the one hand, that he's new, he doesn't know a lot, but he's got this hair trigger reaction to declare bankruptcy. He said it in his first press conference here. He said it again on Saturday. And he made had an interview with a church publication, a nationally known news magazine, where he suggested that bankruptcy in Buffalo is imminent. And so we just wanted to acknowledge that that's part of the news right now, because your folks are going to be interested in that. While Bishop Scharfenberger seems to be in possession of the report on Bishop Richard Malone, this was conducted by Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio, his mentor in the Diocese of Brooklyn, where Scharfenberger was a priest. And these guys are sitting on a couple of pretty big reports right now. Bishop Scharfenberger acknowledged that they are conducting a vos estis investigation of his predecessor in Albany. That is important news to people here in the Catholic world, because since its implementation on May 9th, that document, You Are the Light of the World, the vos estis is the Latin abbreviation for it. We're now seeing the first instances of investigations of bishops for abuse, and Bishop Howard Hubbard is one of them and appears to be only the second in the United States, and certainly the first in the state of New York. And here again, we're hearing from DiMarzio and Scharfenberger that we're not going to be privy to that report, that's again in the hands of the Vatican. We called on Tuesday for the release, and this has been really anticipated, the release of the report into Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, who was Bishop DiMarzio's mentor in the Archdiocese of Newark. DiMarzio was likely interviewed about what he knew about Cardinal McCarrick, because he was an auxiliary bishop under him at the end of McCarrick's tenure in Newark. And so basically the second point that I really want to underline is the fact that they are sitting on these reports. They're saying that they are not ours to see. They're preaching healing, and yet how do you heal when we don't have a full account, when we don't really know what's going on? And then that third point is that we appear to now finally have a vos estis investigation in the state of New York into a retired bishop. Bishop Malone is still functioning. Bishop Malone was part of the ordination ceremony in New York City on Tuesday for two new auxiliary bishops there. And so he is still functioning. He has not been removed from his regular priestly ministry. He still has the benefit of his emeritus title. So we really want to just underline the fact that these investigations that are ongoing, we still are waiting to see a result, and we're really under the burden of the Vatican, this foreign power that has say into whether or not this corporation behind us is going to ever release a full accounting of Bishop Malone's mishandling of these matters in the Diocese of Buffalo. Paul?
Stand by, Paul. We're after it. Okay, one more time. Please give me your name, spell both your first and last name, and your title, or firm you represent.
Paul Barr, P-A-U-L-B-A-R-R. I'm an attorney with the law firm Finizi and Barr in Niagara Falls.
Thank you, sir.
So with regard to the bankruptcy, or the imminent bankruptcy, as James said earlier, the interim bishop has said that he doesn't know a lot about this diocese, yet he does anticipate a bankruptcy, which indicates that he does know about the finances. Which says to me that that's what they're interested in. They're interested in the financial situation and predicament, not the situation that survivors are in of abuse by priests. What the survivors that I represent want is their day in court. They want to confront their abusers and those who hid it. And the bankruptcy is a strategy to hide that information and to never reveal it. And what we have is a situation with an interim bishop who is, it's like having a substitute teacher doing the discipline for the class. And once he's gone, we'll have a new bishop who will then get the clean slate. But the survivors will be the ones left without any satisfaction because they will not get the information that they're looking for and not get to confront the diocese in a proper way that would lend a healing, that would lend to what the studies show would put them in a better place.
So legally, somehow that if they declare bankruptcy, they can shut down everything?
Yes. Legally, if the church files for bankruptcy, it takes the matter out of the state court where the cases have been filed, and it gets put into the hands of a bankruptcy trustee. And the trustee will determine what funds the diocese has that would be available to survivors, and it would turn into just a money thing. And that's not what my survivors are looking for. They're looking, again, they're looking to see the files about the priests that abuse them. They want to know who knew what and when they knew it. For instance, I reported the priest that abused me. And I know that that same priest went on and abused other children after I reported that priest. The survivors that were abused after my report should get to know that. They should get to see the report of that and hold the church accountable.
See, clarify something for me, because I spoke with attorney Mitchell Garabedian, and he said that declaring bankruptcy isn't always the worst case. It just kind of changes the setting for where you litigate from state to civil court. The facts will still be heard. It will just be in a different setting.
Well, the facts will be heard in the sense that a survivor could tell his or her story, but it shuts down the discovery process. So it shuts down the subpoena power that attorneys have. So we won't be able to get the actual church documents. The survivor will tell their story to a bankruptcy trustee, and a trustee will determine the credibility and the award, and that will be that.
In response to our press conference on Tuesday in Brooklyn, Bishop Scharfenberger said that he doesn't have enough information, he hasn't been here long enough to yet speak about any of the priest cases, any of the priest, the alleged priest abusers. And so by making that statement and then saying in essentially the same breath that he's ready to declare bankruptcy, that it appears to be inevitable, suggests that he doesn't care about discovery. It suggests that he doesn't really care about the opportunity for victims to force their opportunity to get access to diocesan files. Bankruptcy will short-circuit that process.
Okay, let's be realistic. They also have their attorneys advising them, and it may not be what you agree with, but they're going to, the attorneys that were hired by the Catholic diocese, they're going to try to represent and minimize any losses that the Catholic diocese of Buffalo has.
Well, I mean, that's, you're making a statement rather than asking a question. But, you know, we're not here to speak about the diocesan lawyers because it's a huge unknown to all of us.
But I think from a legal point of view, as an attorney, you have to know what the other side is going to be doing legally. And this is probably not a big surprise. Rochester Diocese have declared bankruptcy to protect some of their assets. So what's a big surprise?
Of course, well, it's not a surprise. It's a strategy, and it's been a successful strategy around the country that these dioceses are following the advice of their attorneys, and the dioceses are behaving like corporations. What's stunning, though, is that this is my church. This is where I come for salvation and comfort, and the church is behaving like any other corporation. So they can't have it both ways. They can't say to me that they want to heal me. They want to help me find the way to God, and at the same time be behaving like any other corporation. They can't have it both ways.
Yeah, you can't ask for forgiveness. You can't ask for a new day, a new moment to move on when you haven't given the full accounting. It's hard to know what we're forgiving them for if they haven't shared the full details of the history of this. You know, it's important just to recognize that even though the diocese is clearly interested in protecting its assets, this bankruptcy would not guarantee that. It simply is a way of saying, well, we're not going to reorganize ourselves. We're not going to manage the payout process. We're going to have a mediator. We're going to have a trustee do it instead. But it doesn't necessarily mean that their assets are any more protected. They still have the same pile of cash at the beginning of the process as they would otherwise. But what's really noteworthy, and I'm sure Mitchell Garabedian is well aware of this, is the risk to victims and not being able to ever have the personnel files of the diocese subpoenaed. And that's really what we need. In fact, that's, you know, one of the points that we're trying to make is that church law really prohibits the release of that information anyway. And it'd be like any other corporation in America that would try to do that, but is protected because of religious exception, ministerial exception. The church doesn't have to cough up its internal files.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.